Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune into Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart. Today, April 27th, 2020, as a public service for the COVID-19 pandemic, brought to you by Crawford Broadcasting, we'll continue our presentation of how we got here, why now and never before such an extensive economic shutdown, what are the relevant just principles of governance that governments should adhere to, where this global experience is headed. We've looked at the science and we've been rebutting a few conspiracy theories along the way to hopefully mitigate some misplaced anger. One conspiracy we rebutted is the Sean Hannity interpretation of what China was doing when they permitted international flights to continue. Countless conservatives think that this was part of China's intentional plan to infect the world. Here at Real Science Radio, we have a strong record, greater even, of condemning China, including for their own abortion holocaust, as do the vast majority of conservative and or Christian outlets. Yet on our last program, we strongly rebutted that air traffic conspiracy interpretation. We documented the dates and showed that with the whole world on alert for the virus and its spreading, and with President Trump wisely shutting down flights to and from China, yet most of the rest of the world, listen to this, most of the world recklessly ignored his approach and the danger, and they continued flying to China. Yes, the Chinese shut down their own domestic travel out of Wuhan, but they weren't forcing other countries to fly there. Each country evaluated their own level of acceptable risk, based even just on the number of planes available in any fleet or nation. No airliner country, including China, could sustain continuing to send flights out of their country unless those same planes were first flying into their country. So the countries that planes were flying into out of China were the same countries that continued of their own decision-making and with some recklessness to fly planes into China. And China's communist tyrant, Xi Jinping, did what tyrants do in selfishness, incompetence, and hubris. He took whatever benefits flew in on the incoming flights and cared nothing for what harm flew out on the return flights. That's much different than the paranoid belief generating even more anger needlessly than already exists, to claim that China was implementing an intentional plan to infect the world. A secret plan. And look how they were doing it. By out in the open, publicly flying planes all over the world. Wickedness and recklessness by themselves are not sufficient to convict someone of every suspicion. And God did say, do not bear false witness against your neighbor. We began our Crawford COVID series of programs interviewing brilliant scientists. If you missed any, they're archived for you online at rsr.org, Real Science Radio, rsr.org. To understand the virus and the disease, we heard from audience favorites like molecular biologist Kevin Anderson and world-renowned scientists Michael Behe and James Tour discussing his nanoprobe device that, like a guided missile, seeks out pathogens like a bacteria or even a virus, attaches to the germ, and then drills into them at 3 million RPM, 3 million revolutions per minute to destroy them. It's stunning how human beings can use the brilliance that God gave us to learn about his creation and to some degree, as the Lord encouraged us, to take control of it. Now we move on to what's called the soft sciences of economics, psychology, and as Ludwig von Mises called it, he's the former leader of the Austrian School of Economics, praxeology. Praxeology, what's that? The study of human action. And von Mises, he used the tool known as the thought experiment. The hard sciences, and atheists don't like to acknowledge this. They like to say that everything is based on empiricism, observation. But the hard sciences make great use of thought experiments. That's when you make discoveries by closing your eyes and thinking. That's how Albert Einstein made his discoveries. It wasn't using scientific equipment, for the most part. We park our space satellites far above Earth in what's called the Lagrange points. You know when these parking spaces were discovered up in space? Back in 1736, Paul Dirac discovered antimatter and positrons before they were actually observed. Max Planck, the Planck constant, Higgs, the Higgs boson. In fact, James Clerk Maxwell, the father of the science of electromagnetic radiation. He discovered in 1859, not with a telescope, but by his thoughts. He discovered that the rings of Saturn were not, as was believed, solid, nor were they a continuous liquid, but that they were made up of disconnected particles. Now, that discovery was not confirmed by observation until 122 years later by NASA's Voyager 2 mission. We applied von Mises' encouragement to use thought experiments to figure out why now and why never before for this extensive economic shutdown. Yes, in the past, disease and death did bring economies to a screeching halt, but never to this extent. Never continent-wide, worldwide, with a succession of economic activity that runs as deep as the current lockdown. And we used another observation made by another Austrian conservative author, Erich von Kuhnelt-Leden, in his work, Leftism Revisited, that some leaders have the capacity to view their own citizens as part of their own family. And so, just like a wealthy family would do almost anything in their power, even bankrupting themselves, if they thought a disease that was spreading was anything like, let's say, Ebola, which killed about one out of every two people who got it. But suppose this was a highly infectious disease spreading rapidly. If a successful father thought that a spreading infection would likely kill one of his own children or more, if a son or daughter happened to catch it, of course he would go to extreme lengths, especially if he had the financial wherewithal to try to prevent that horror. Then think of nations and their leaders, and to the time in world history, namely today, when, as compared to the past thousands of years, we have both a better understanding of the spread of pathogens, and we have vast wealth compared to the past available to governments. So this shutdown has been coming at us for a long time. Why now and never before? Because we can, that's why. The cure, though, might be worse than the disease. Far more people may die from the shutdown than from the coronavirus. Almost like, say, a medically induced coma. We have a medically induced, actually, an intentional, politically induced recession. And how bad might it get? And how many people might it kill? The worldwide economy could get bad enough to kill more people than COVID-19. And that could be either with or without all this mitigation. So far, it appears that way few people have died, even though so many have, because of these extreme measures. But even if we didn't do all this and far more people died, it's possible that the economic downturn could kill more people than the disease would have taken, even if we had not shut down our economies. So a depression is far worse than a recession. For a long time, a depression has been considered a drop in real GDP of more than 10% in 1 year. So GDP, what's that? That's gross domestic product. And no, that's not our public school graduating class. That's the value of all goods and services produced. The GDP. Economic forecasters, as Fortune magazine points out, are downgrading their predictions almost as fast as they can make them. For example, within just a few weeks, Goldman Sachs downgraded its second quarter GDP estimates from minus 2%. In other words, the level of goods and services with which we were serving one another would shrink by 2% in that quarter. They downgraded their own estimation from negative 2% to negative 24% to negative 32%. And that's all within a few weeks. Now, annualized, that would qualify as a depression, except that our underlying productivity improvement, wealth, diversification of the economy, and so on, could prevent anything like what we perceive historically as a depression from hitting us. But they do say nothing is certain except death and taxes, right? But even death can be cheated, you know, through Jesus Christ. So maybe the only certainty is that the government is likely to take more from you than it should. Huh. Economic decline, regardless of what you call it, kills people. How do people die from a drop in the standard of living? Well, of course, it's called the standard of living, and the opposite of that is dying. Donald Trump, unfortunately, hasn't found a way to verbalize what he knows to be true, that when the economy falters, people die. The most I've heard him get out of his mouth is suicide. And he's mentioned only suicide on a number of occasions. Perhaps in the last days, he's expanded on that so that he could help people understand the many ways that people die when the economy struggles. Now, suicide, it's not nearly the only way people die from an economic downturn, but it is terribly serious, and he's right to highlight it. Under normal circumstances, what is suicide as a cause of death in America? Where does it rank? Where does it rank? Well, it depends if you're talking about young people or the entire population. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in America, far higher than traffic fatalities, which doesn't even make the list. 47,000 people die by their own hand every year right here in our country. And for young adults, tragically, suicide is the number two cause of death, which is one of the reasons, not the main one, but one of the reasons why we oppose and despise those who seek to decriminalize and normalize suicide. So an increase in suicide, when a business fails, when a father can't figure out how to provide for his family, a mom sees her children struggling, when a teenager goes further into depression because his life isn't working out how he or she had expected. Those deaths are even more insufferable than COVID-19 deaths. I'll give one example from Thailand. We just had a large trilobite fossil donated to us here at Real Science Radio from a listener in Thailand. Well, a Bangkok media outlet has reported that suicides have increased measurably from the quarantine. And they document one example, a man who joined a government protest of a few dozen people. A few days later, he killed himself. He's the 58-year-old taxi driver, Nam Jamsupa. He didn't have enough money to pay his next 3 months' lease for his taxi. That would be $555. So he killed himself. Their mental health hotline there has gone from 30 calls a month to 600. So Donald Trump is right, of course. Suicide is a major result of economic difficulty, but that's only one manner of recession death. Oh, and by the way, what is the top cause of death in the U.S.? Now, the wicked, they refuse to include abortion, the intentional killing of unborn children. Surgical abortions is at 1 million. Chemical abortions and mechanical, like with the IUD, the morning after pill and so on, that could bring the death toll far, far above 1 million children killed every year. But the wicked ignore the killing of those kids. So they start their list of the top 10 causes of death with heart disease. At 650,000 a year succumb. Cancer at number two, at 600,000 a year. Now here at Real Science Radio, we've predicted, based on our reporting and on interviews with leaders in the field of targeted antibody treatments, that cancer will drop to the fifth cause of death by the year 2025. Now that's an astounding prediction, and since we made it a couple years ago, it's been heading downward, thankfully, for many reasons. But right now, forget all that, because the number one cause of death in America right now is COVID-19. Yes, COVID deaths have been overcounted. That's true. And that's a problem for decades with many diseases, identifying the correct cause of death and overcoming bias. And COVID deaths have also been undercounted, as frequently happens with many diseases. That's not a conspiracy, and the two hopefully cancel out. But regardless, that number of how many have died, that goes into the numerator of the fraction, and the denominator, that's the vastly larger number, the number of cases, and then that fraction helps us decide how deadly a particular infection can be. So this past week, we've hit about 2,000 COVID deaths per day. If that was annualized, and if this continued for another year or two, which it could, especially seeing that the virus has experienced 30-point mutations already, and they could make it far more lethal than the flu-like or double the flu-like fatality rate that the coronavirus has right now. But at 2,000 deaths a day, if that became routine, that would be 700,000 deaths per year. But hopefully we'll have nothing like that. So an increase in death from an economic downturn includes from suicide, which could bring that cause of death from a tenth as high as above, say, the normal flu and pneumonia deaths of 55,000 per year, and that could disproportionately include children and young adults. Then, just like an increase in suicide, there is death from all the other ways that people die, only more so. One large and lengthy study in Europe has shown that the rate of death increases by 50%. You got that? For the unemployed as compared to people who are working. And that includes increases in death rates from most causes of death, disease, accidents, and so on. People who become increasingly unhappy over a lengthening period of time are at greater risk. By the way, of course, some have inherent biochemical problems and need psychiatric care, but the vast majority need God and a healthy relationship with Him, becoming increasingly conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, as Paul urges us, becoming more Christ-like and loving and serving others so much that we hardly have time to notice our own twinges of unhappiness here and there. When people can't afford better food, they eat cheaper food. When they can't afford medical care or the hospitals are otherwise occupied, they forego normal health care that could have given an early diagnosis of a treatable disease. Or they forego health care for a known ailment they have, which then could lead to their early death. When farmers can't afford more productive seeds and the right amount of irrigation, they use cheaper seeds and don't water their crops enough. When manufacturers can't afford to use the best materials, they use cheaper materials. And sometimes that causes accidents. Someone is inclined to commit crime, and he sees some corrupt opportunity because the store has reduced security measures because they can't afford to have the guards that they used to have. When a man's good business fails, he takes a job that barely sustains his loved ones. And much of this, like virtually all economic calculation, is on the margins. Someone who might not have come down with a disease, but the financial and emotional stress that a recession brings pushed her over the edge, and now she's sick. A business was on the verge of being sustainable, but it fails. A marriage just might have survived, but the added stress results in divorce. And now three kids are growing up without a dad in the home, and that's the number one indicator for the kids eventually who commit crime, go on welfare, use drugs, and otherwise ruin their lives and even die young. And governmental leaders who don't know right from wrong and who say things like, America will never be a socialist nation as long as I'm in charge, while handing out $1,000 checks to everyone and saddling the next generation with trillions of dollars of debt beyond even Obama's deficit spending. And even those measures meant to help eventually lead to further socialism, economic downturn, and death. And when a global economy shrinks, short-sighted governments may further increase import tariffs, which, what is that? Primarily, it's a tax on their own people and increases economic pain. You hit the buyer of a Japanese car, say with a 10% surcharge or tariff, and then domestic manufacturers, they realize they can increase the price of their cars by 9%, all of which is paid for by the consumer. So the list goes on and on of how people die from economic decline. But it's not only the deaths, right? The deaths, they're just one fraction of the overall misery. You add to the deaths all the non-lethal increased unhappiness, struggling, depression, increased mental illness, reduced treatment, and so on. So all those deaths and that misery can be far greater than what this SARS-CoV-2 virus can produce, what we call the Wuhan flu, because of the cover-up and other lies from the Chinese communist. But far more important than all of that are the moral questions. And we'll get to those tomorrow. Now, I was supposed to get to them today, and I apologize to those who tuned in to hear exactly that topic, but I felt that I had to provide my bona fides, showing perhaps newer listeners that here at Real Science Radio, we carefully think through the science and the current events that we report on, and more importantly, that we do all this with a Christian biblical worldview. So tomorrow, does the government have the right to shut down an economy to fight an epidemic? There's a tremendous amount of anger out there, and it's become a right versus left thing. So tomorrow, does the government have the right to shut down an economy to fight an epidemic? There's a tremendous amount of anger out there, and it's become a right versus left thing. That's often the case. If Obama had been reigning right now in office, just like he was when the H1N1 virus hit in 2009, when 60 million Americans were infected, and he shut down how much of the economy? Oh, nothing. And over 12,000 people died. The media couldn't care less then, and they wouldn't have said boo against him if he were in the White House right now, nor would they hardly criticize a single thing that he did or didn't do if he were president. Now, what proof do I have of such an accusation? Well, look at how they support the Democratic governor of New York, the most hard-hit state in the nation. Whether he says what they condemn Trump for saying or does what they condemn Trump for doing, and even when Trump's right and he's wrong, reality matters nothing to the fake news alleged journalist blinded by hatred. So because of the left's Trump derangement syndrome, and there's also the right's Trump derangement syndrome, there is an intense fight over whether to reopen because the Democrats, the media, and millions on the left want to see the economy crash further to hurt Trump's chances of reelection. They don't care how many people they hurt. So the more they support the quarantine, the more conservative Christians are enraged. And from my vantage point, here atop the RSR towers, overlooking Colorado's Front Range, I can't see much careful and principled thinking on either side. The best any conservative has done is to say, well, this is unconstitutional. But I'm far more interested in whether it's right or wrong. There are 100 countries with some degree of quarantine, and they don't all have the U.S. Constitution. God is not going to judge us on our Constitution, but on whether nations and individuals violate his law. So I'm far more interested on the eternal principles of right and wrong. And that's what we'll get to tomorrow. Former New Jersey Appeals Court Judge Andrew Napolitano, he was a Fox regular until he turned against Donald Trump. Well, we've interviewed him here on the air. He wrote 2 weeks ago that the only time the government can interfere with a man's freedom is when he's convicted by a jury of a crime. Oh, really? How about when the police arrest a mass murderer and he's held for months incarcerated until the trial? You mean Judge Napolitano has never thought of that circumstance? That's how sloppy. It's a perfect example of how conservatives and Christian leaders have dealt with the current crisis. So until tomorrow, Lord willing, until then, if you'd like to forward this Crawford-sponsored public service program to a friend, just go online to rsr.org. This is Bob Enyart for my co-host Fred Williams and Real Science Radio. May God bless you. Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away.